Blog Talk Radio.
As always, by my lovely sister, Raina Starr, the petite little wallflower that she is.
Shut the fuck up. Oh, I didn't do our disclaimer yet, and I already let loose. Well, if y'all could read, y'all know that our show is not, you know, for young minds. Well, actually, maybe it fucking is. I don't know. Anyway, I curse a lot, so I hope that's okay, and if it's not, you're at the wrong place. Sorry, sis.
There you go. No, it's fine. That's why I label the show rated R. So it's like, if not, then you get a pleasant or an unpleasant surprise. Sorry. Too bad, so sad.
Oh, too bad for you. Okay, so go ahead and do your shout out. I'll do my shout out, and then I'm not going to do the disclaimer. Fuck it. Too late. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know, right? All right. Jessica, if you're listening, I'm going to send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. And today is Miss Jessica's mommy's birthday. So happy birthday, Annie Lane.
Happy birthday, Annie Lane. And hello, Jess. Okay. Also, in birthdays this week, we also have the wonderful and lovely Wicked Witch herself, Dorothy Morrison, and our very beloved Jade Soul Luna, whose birthday is today. So happy birthday, Jade and Dorothy. We didn't forget you. And Jade,
I'm sorry, I had to do that. Happy birthday.
Paul McCartney's going to be looking for our asses for his cut. So, yeah, glad you stopped it quick.
Hey, at least we'll get to meet him then.
Yeah, no, I don't want to meet his lawyers, honey. You'll never see him. Anyway,
yeah,
so
I know, right?
Mother's Day is coming up rapidly, like on Sunday. So all our witch mamas, have a happy one to you. Hope you've got something special planned. Well, or hope the fools around you at least have tried to do something. I, however, am going to spend Sunday quietly resting.
Yes.
The joys of getting old. I'm just saying.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I really, the only thing I want to do on Mother's Day is I want to take a nice long bath, have a little glass of whiskey in there with me, have my little vaping thing, and just zone out. And then once I'm done, either take a nap or come up and play in my office, and then be fed. That's what I want.
Be fed. What do you want to be fed?
Be fed.
I'm curious.
I don't know. Anything with blue cheese on it, and I'm good.
Okay, you know,
people
can come up with some weird combinations with the blue cheese.
Oh, whatever. As long as it's food, I don't care. As long as it's food I don't have to cook, I'm good.
Oh, for God's sake. Really? Really? I think my requirements are a little more stringent than that, but that's okay. I'm not. All I'm asking for, really, I don't really presents because fuck it, I buy my own presents for me.
There you go.
I just want a couple of phone calls from the kids. That's all. Really,
exactly.
Nothing much. They're busy. I'm busy. All the goddesses' children are busy. So,
yeah.
What's interesting in the news this week? Anything? Any little thing?
Oh, my God. You know, I don't know. Every time I turn around, there's something new to be upset about. Apparently, today I heard about some sports team. I don't even know who it is. But they were doing a play on the commercial. They were doing a twist on one of the insurance commercials where the woman goes running at the man. They're playing, you know, Dirty Dancing or whatever. Well, apparently the guy threw the girl in this new commercial. So now everybody's screaming abuse and domestic abuse, and it's like, okay, it was a bad joke. You know, I don't know.
Okay, the actual
reason. It's not one thing, it's another.
Okay, here's the truth. Here's the fucking truth.
Okay.
The reason he throws her in the commercial is because she's a fan of an opposing team and she's wearing their shirt instead of the team that he likes. Now, was it goofy and silly? Yeah, but this manufactured outrage is killing me. It's like people can't even laugh anymore. I am so fucking sick of it. I mean, really, it was a joke. You know, everything in commercials is not advocating for that behavior in real life. If that were the case, we'd all be hooked on smack and alcoholics, like it shows us in the movies. I mean, where do you draw the line? I am so over this manufactured bullshit because people suddenly now in this generation need to have some kind of cause that they can say, I'm part of that group. Are you that fucking mindless that you can't be a group of you? Can you not just say, okay, this isn't for me, I'm going to ignore the things that aren't for me and move on to the shit that is for me? But these constant outcries of, oh, isn't it horrible, and they're destroying the fabric of our nation, I find it ridiculous. Fucking get the stick out of your ass and stop looking for something to be angry about. I have never seen a larger group of people than almost everyone in this country who desperately, desperately need to have a justifiable anger. What happened to let's be happy, let's do the best we can in our own lives, and try to make it work? But when you know, this negativity breeds more negativity. That's why when some fucked up real shit happens, like in Baltimore, that's why people go way over the edge, because it's just more, you know, everybody's got something to be fucking mad at, and it makes me crazy. And I see people in our community do it too, but not to the same degree. For the most part, the pagan community, from what I've personally seen, is, all right, it was stupid, move on, next. But this just crazy manufactured outrage is going too far the other way. It makes me question everything I've ever laughed at in my life. If you laugh at slapstick, you remember Charlie Chaplin, okay?
Oh, God, yeah.
He used to, you were a fan. I was a fan. We used to see him fall
Laurel
down.
Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy. I mean, no one's advocating that you go around and emulate the behavior that you see going on in the screen. If that is your marker for how to behave as a human being or not to behave as a human being, either you had no upbringing, and I'm very sorry, or you really cannot just think for yourself, and you need somebody else to agree with you, or to, again, belong to some kind of group of outrage. I don't belong to any group of outrage. I don't lose it over stupid shit like a commercial. Obviously, he didn't really hurt her in the commercial. The commercial is a joke. Now comedians are getting slammed for fucking being funny. I mean, people get, they purposely look for something to be mad at, and I find it so mindless. And you're losing sight of what life is about, you know, to live, to do a job well done, to raise reasonable adults, although people take that shit too far as well. I mean, there's got to be some kind of natural evolution that doesn't come from a movie screen or the idiot box, as my father used to call it, you know? Things based in facts would be helpful. Like this whole thing with, I got to go back to this fucked up Deflategate thing. Did he know the balls were underfilled? Or, you know, did they hide it from Tom Brady? Or, not that I give a fuck either way, but here's the point of the situation. If he cheated, and you can prove he cheated because he allowed the balls to be deflated or instructed that they be, I mean, and this is all, you know, you're saying conjecture. I haven't seen proof of anything, so I can't make a judgment call, but it's a fucking football game. Now, what I will say is, if it's proven that he knew about it, they should give up their Super Bowl champion because they didn't earn it. That's just simple what's fair and not fair. Again, another sports-related thing, the Manny Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. Now they're saying Pacquiao lied about having an injured shoulder and was given the opportunity to fess up about it before the fight, but the injury to his shoulder, he complained about it after the fight, and now people are saying they're suing him. They're just fucking suing him. There's like a class action. They're suing him because they're saying he wanted the money badly enough that he fought with the injury. And what happens in that instance is it's unfair to the people who went and paid for tickets, which were upwards of $25,000 in some cases, all of the people who spent $100 plus on the pay-per-view, which I fucking did. But, you know, I don't know if guys are necessarily injured. He just happened to screw up and say that he was after the fight but didn't admit it before the fight. So they're thinking, you know, he frauded all these people out of money because he wanted the money so bad, the purse, well, even the loser's purse was like more than any 20 of my friends and I will ever see in a lifetime. They're kind of outraged because, you know, they want their money back. And I really don't know how to feel about that. As I said, I actually did pay for the fight. So, I mean, I can understand both sides of it. But I'm not willing to, like, go crazy and start a petition and boycott this guy for the rest of this. I mean, you're just taking shit really far. I understand fair play. I understand doing the right thing. But there's, you know, you got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's like, okay, for example, you know, I enjoy watching boxing every once in a while. I don't agree with Mayweather because of his abuse against women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like Pacquiao, but I don't agree with his stance on gay marriage. You
know, I know.
He is Catholic, you know, but I just didn't watch it because, A, I wasn't going to pay for it. B, I was, mm-hmm. I just didn't care, you know, but I wasn't going around posting stuff that, oh, even though I'm not going to watch this and it doesn't matter an iota in my life at this point, I'm boycotting this and that, and I hope they sue, and I hope that bastard's family gets killed. You know, it's, we jump from, you know, hey, that was a really stupid thing to say, to I hope your kids get cancer and die. You know, how did we go from that? How did we start making that huge leap? You know, and I'm not including me or you or the same people, you know, into that group, but it's like, oh my God. You know, okay, I get the bakery. I get it. You know, that is offensive and it's not right. But okay, you know, do it the old-fashioned way. Spread the word, hey, not friendly toward these people. Word will spread on its own. No, the way you're doing it is getting sympathy from the people who like that kind of stuff and will support. I mean, those people made like over $100,000 through a GoFundMe that somebody started. Now, granted, they're not allowed to have the money because they have been charged criminally. So, but they've done it for subsequent ones. You know, people are saying these controversial things because they know they can get the stupid people to get them money. You know, it's become a scheme. Yeah, it's just bizarre. Humans are getting weirder and weirder.
Well, the culture is what it is. You know, it starts in small pockets, like, you know, the far right wing of the Republican Party. And there is a difference between Republicans. Not all Republicans are psycho nutty. Just the ones that scream the loudest are psycho nutty. But, I mean, I have people I love in my family who are Republican as well. But, you know, not everybody is a dyed-in-the-wool crazy, you know. But it just it seems to have started from the actual lying and vitriol that happened during the last administration, not the one we're in now, but the need to be angry and the need to, you know, defend what you're feeling publicly. It's just a fucking nightmare. It really is. I can't get over the fact that people now feel that not only should they tell you everything on their mind, but the fact that they feel as though they need to be justified and have other people back them up shows a real lack of individualism. And I thought, I kind of had the impression growing up that being an individual was a good thing. And now it all seems completely the opposite, and I just don't fucking get it. I don't understand it.
Well, no. They've even turned being an individual into a group thing. You know, like with the people who do things ironically. It's, you know, it's like, I don't get it. It's like, why are you riding that huge bicycle down the street? What is wrong with you? There are better ways to go about it. But yeah, it's become a whole movement unto itself. It's they've taken individualization and branded it.
I don't know about that, but it's just like you're not allowed to think freely. You've got to pick a side. And I'm like, fuck you. I don't want to pick a side, and you can't fucking make me. And the unfortunate thing is that when you decide that you're not going to join any group, then people suddenly decide to come back with things as classy as, well, you know, you don't ever comment on this or that, so everything must be okay with you. And I want to say, well, it's not that everything is okay with me in that regard, in a general populist regard. I have a life that I can't complain about. I mean, I'm sure I could dig some shit up if I was really that ambitious to be angry. guess what? I'm not. I wind up getting more annoyed in the day-to-day politics and bullshit that's just in my life because I have to deal with other people for work. And
yeah,
but that doesn't end my life. I don't, you know, I don't walk around with a constant chip on my shoulder like people seem to do. And it makes me very sad because more people seem to be turning out that way. So I'm finding a lot fewer people to hang out with because of it, because people are so negative constantly. And aside from you, I'm running out of people to talk to because I just can't take the mindless, constant, continuous anger. The cause of the day. It's gone from the cause of the month to being the cause of the day, and I don't want to keep up with it. It's aggravating.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes too much fucking energy. It really does. It's like, you know, and don't get me wrong, you know, for a while there, I was like, yeah, okay, this is a good cause, and these are the points of this good cause, and it's like, you know, I don't have any energy for the causes that I do support.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like, oh, who are we boycotting this week? You know, I'm sorry, am I not supposed to buy? You know, I'm sorry, but Chick-fil-A is fucking delicious. I do not agree with the money they spent, but we all know that they do it now. And nobody is stopping going there. You know, I'm not going to tout them, but if I feel like having a fucking Chick-fil-A sandwich at some point, it doesn't mean I love my gay friends any less. And I've had to get over that, you know?
Well,
it's like,
I remember,
sorry, I love you.
I remember that whole, when that first all happened, and we were pretty upset about it. But see, for me, that's a genuine cause. When the person who has the power and the money saying all these people are bad and, you know, basically playing God, as it were, you know, well, I think you should be able to live and you should go somewhere and not have any kind of support or government, anything, and you should be on an island dying somewhere. I mean, that's the kind of thing that does upset me, especially when it's provable intelligence, i.e., you hear the person say it through an interview. I mean, that I have trouble supporting, but I make that decision for myself. And I don't feel like I need anybody telling me that, yes, I should think it's okay, or no, I shouldn't think it's okay. The point is that I make that decision for myself, and I move on from it. I mean, I've tried to be there's every morning that are brand fucking new.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't have the resources to support everything. I don't. I may support a whole bunch of things in my heart, but I don't feel the constant need of discussing it and getting people behind me or getting behind other people. Everyone's entitled to their true cause. But you kind of have to land on something and stay with it. Like, there's a thing about quinoa and how it's harvested. There's a thing about diamonds and how those are harvested, as it were. There's a whole thing about this restaurant, that store, this store. You know, every time you put gas in your car, you're supporting somebody evil. It's, you know, you've got to figure out where enough is enough. And you do shit unwittingly. I had no idea about certain things while I was doing them. And when you get the information, you make a choice about it. I used to eat Chick-fil-A, now I don't. But a lot of that is not just because I'm pissed, because of the owner of Chick-fil-A, but some of it's just for my fucking health. You know, I'm getting old, folks. I'm getting old. I just think people should, you know, accept the information and deal with it as they wish without having to create a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter every 5 seconds or whatever the other nine. That, I mean, I remember when Kickstarter was the only self-fundraiser thing that I knew about, and now there are ones creeping up all over the place, and I'm like, I've never even heard of some of this shit. But, you know, I don't get it. Like, the one, my favorite Kickstarter program or GoFundMe program is the guy who wanted to make an egg salad sandwich, and all he wanted to raise was, like, $16 to get eggs and, get all the ingredients. And the guy wound up raising thousands of dollars because people just kept he has enough to now buy a farm and grow the eggs himself with the chickens. I mean, it boggles my mind. It just boggles my mind. Now, I have a suggestion for people who see things on Kickstarter like that and really get into it. Go fucking find a homeless shelter and put the money there. If you really wanted to do some good, contribute to your society,
absolutely,
your community. You know, do some Wiccan or pagan outreach. You know, we're not immune necessarily to all of the shitty things that happen in life. Some of us are abused. Some of us, you know, are not making a lot of money because we don't work out in public. Or whatever it is, help somebody local, you know? Try that. Just something different for a change. I'm just saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Rant over.
I know, because we could do a whole show about that, I swear. But
and
we have a
we
guest
have,
to bring
sure.
on tonight.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
All right.
Thought
let me bring him on real quick.
All right.
Hello, Mr. Vitamus.
Hello. Can you hear me pretty well?
Yes,
you
can. How are you?
Yes.
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
I know. It's been a while since we've talked to you. What have you been up to?
Mostly just in my MBA and working. So that's probably enough. besides the weekly magical work for clients and stuff, that's more than enough.
Yeah.
I know, right? So, no, you working on any new books or?
Yeah, actually, I'm working on not so much books, but courses. In August, I'm going to have a year-long shapeshifting course, the first part of the shapeshifting course, we did it for like 30 days, and everyone was like, mm-hmm. this is awesome, but there's no way I can do this in 30 days. I said, all right. So that told me that I need to extend the 30 days, which was pretty extensive, 30 days. It was like an hour and a half a day, hardcore. And then they extended out for an hour, basically. Ooh, is that
weird,
you guys?
I'm not sure. That was, it's kind of a weird. Let's see if I can... That might have been me. I apologize if it was. So what kind of shape-shifting? Because I know, some people will automatically go, oh, I can turn into a bird or a werewolf. And going to guess that's not what you actually mean.
it was mental, emotional, social, and astral, or etheric shape-shifting. And the etheric part of it is where you can kind of do stuff like you're talking about now. You know, early on in shape-shifting lecture, I told people that while it might be technically possible to do shape-shifting, and certainly in limited capacity, we've gotten some results with that. There's an alternative explanation than physical shape-shifting that you have to account for, and that wasn't going to be the purpose of the course. So,
Okay.
Because there's been no...
Well, cool.
If you actually study shamans of old, there's never been any anthropological proof of what Hollywood thinks is shape-shifting. There's a whole lot of proof and evidence to suggest that shamans would go and take possession of animals and then try to control the animals from the astral plane. Because we've never found a
wolf. That explains a lot.
We've never found a wolf-human hybrid, but we found numerous anecdotal evidence to suggest that in Europe they called it, you know, the witch's sabbat, and they would go on these astral journeys and try to take over the body of an animal. And that is what the skinwalkers probably did in Native American lore, and it goes kind of from there.
That is fascinating. You know, it's so simplistic. I've never even thought about that. That maybe that's an explanation for shape shifting. I mean, because believe me, if I could physically shape shift, that would be awesome. But okay.
It's kind of interesting if you think about it. We actually do physically shapeshift all the time because our body at a cellular level is changing all the time. The thing is that our minds cannot deal with that level of change. So even if it was possible at the highest level of guruship, it's more probable that the most advanced shamans were doing this possession thing where they would take over the mind of another animal. And even that is a high level of difficulty, obviously.
What's the connection between... I have a question. What is the connection between sort of an astral projection and shape-shifting, if there is any?
But I don't think... I mean, I'll probably get in trouble already on your show, right?
No, you won't.
See, the thing is that modern this goes into what we were talking about. Modern shamanism is not like what shamanism is thought of anthropologically, and it's certainly it's not as simple or as love and light as what you traditionally think is shamanism. Shamanism is pretty hardcore, right? And oftentimes, what shamans are doing are going on ecstatic journeys to find the medicine they need, the spiritual medicine they need to cure the people in their village or cure the person in the village. That might be a ecstatic journey into the astral planes or the upper worlds or the lower worlds, depending on what type of shamanism you're talking about. But you might do that oftentimes in a shape that's not human. And it's very common that you might take on the shape of your allies or something else when you're on the astral plane. So it's very common to go on the astral plane and shapeshift into something else to either be as a Roman, if you're going to an astral plane that is very different to get the medicine you need, then you might shapeshift into something closer. So that way the beings or entities there resonate with you more and are more willing to give you the medicine. So there's a lot of overlap between shapeshifting and the astral plane. One of the examples that I gave later in the class for the shapeshifting thing was you were doing body shapeshifting, understanding that there's a time delay, right, where you're envisioning yourself certain qualities of your body. Of course, I was really adamant about everyone having to back that up physically. So, like, if you want to put on muscle weight, it's kind of like, well, you got to go to the gym too. But the idea was that the shape-shifting that you would do in your mind would speed the process up. And that's what the people found. When they actually did the shape-shifting, physical shape-shifting with the work necessary, it was a lot faster to get the results they wanted.
Oh, okay. Cool. Now, okay. Say, I don't know, like, I'm trying to figure out how to ask this without sounding silly.
Sounds
like
silly.
Say somebody wanted,
I want to know.
Yeah. So, if somebody, wants to take on the attributes of a fox, you know, to become more sly and more able to move, you know, through crowds. They want to emulate that ability. Could they use, costumes? Would that help?
Well, obviously, if you're trying to be sly and not get noticed, if you put on a fox costume, it's probably not going to help you much, right?
Yeah, I know. no, no. I mean, it's like
practice. But here we get to a very important point. Is that an attribute of a fox, or is that an attribute that a system of magic has applied to an idea of the fox? These are two different things, right? There's an idea of the fox spirit that does these things, and then there's a literal fox. Are they the same thing? No. Right?
No.
So now the fox spirit is much more a classical spirit, even though we're saying it's a fox. You know, it's not really a fox. It's a spirit. And it's like any other spirit that has attributes of spirits. Its form is a fox because we understand that fox spirit has a form of a fox. But it's not necessarily a physical fox. It doesn't necessarily, a physical fox may not have the same attributes in the same way if we were directly connecting. But if we were connecting to the spirit, we might have other attributes that are associated with the spirit in that form. And that's a real big, important point, a difference, right? Because I was getting to the core things, and I was actually explaining that, too. Yes, you could shapeshift and take on aspects of spirits, you know, but are you taking on the actual spirit or your expectation of the spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Those are hard questions to answer, and not ones that I answered for anyone in the course, either. Merely asking those type of questions, so...
Wow.
No, I apologize too. I'm on a delay, so I apologize if I interrupt.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I know how Blog Talk is, so it's no big deal.
Okay. You had a question, sis?
No, it fascinates me, but it kind of, I don't know. I guess I have, you know, years of hang-ups. Like to do about actually wanting to be for myself that deep into the kind of shape shifting that I believe we're discussing. I feel that you can take in the attributes if you know about enough about the animal or the person or whatever it is you're trying to assimilate. Is it like an assimilation?
Yeah, that's a good word for it. And I mean I really do cover early on. It's kind of asking these hard questions, you know.
Yeah.
And you might in fact need the attributes of that fox spirit, but you might not need the kind of primal elements that actually touching the mind of a real fox might come into play. So it's mostly deciding what you need.
Right.
And then taking, changing it.
Because to me it sounds almost like, and please understand, I am extremely ignorant, and I admit that. Everyone knows that I am not afraid to say I'm a dumb fuck, and I don't know shit. And about this I know pretty much nothing. But it's almost like... not splicing, but what you're wanting to take on certain aspects of the DNA of the target. I know target's probably not a good term for it, but that's all that's coming to my brain. And it's almost like genetic modification, like in a metaphysical regard, not a literal regard.
Yeah.
Does that make
sense? It totally makes sense. I mean, I would put it into the mental realms at first to really do essence transformations is very difficult. So it's kind of like once you've acquired those different attributes, it's easy to bring them back to the forefront. And that's why... Initially, when I was talking about this, I said the first couple of things are kind of like it's all mental shape-shifting because that's what we're doing at first. People would be shocked. Like, lots of people were shocked at how far you can go with just mental shape-shifting, and then how far you can do with social shape-shifting, which is like screwing around with your social networks and the amount of changes that you can make just by doing that. That's actually mostly the course. That's most of the course. Then you get into like later aspects of it. Has some physical shapeshifting and some astral shapeshifting, for the reason that later courses kind of I'm trying to develop have very much this kind of taking on other forms and going to different realms type of feel to them.
Oh, see, that's cool. Awesome. I like that. That sounds like something I'd be totally into. Because I do that in my daily life when I deal with people. You know, I figure out who I'm talking to, and sometimes I have to literally borrow other personalities to get a smooth transaction happening, whether it's a discussion or a point across, or, you know, I kind of have to meld myself depending on who I'm dealing with.
Exactly. Then you realize that. Then as you start going through the shapeshifting course, you realize you don't just have to be receptive, because if you get that, the thinking, the rapport, which is some of the stuff we cover, which is the NLP term, once you get the rapport, you can use energy work and really intense concentration while you're talking to somebody to change their opinion or change their attitude or mood. And there's all kinds of stuff you can do from there.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so it is related, I'm glad. Because I was wondering if I was just going off and doing shit, and was I going to hurt someone or myself, which is not ever my intention, unless, of course, I'm being attacked. But just to give I apologize. I just want to give this little example.
Oh, no, it's
there's
okay.
There's someone in my life who I deal with on a personal and professional basis, whom I actually adore, but I have seen where if I do A, I get B reaction. So I know what, it's almost like knowing who I have to shift into to get that desired response. So let me ask you this question. Is that doing what we're discussing, or am I just crazy manipulative?
Well, okay. that is certainly stuff that I will be, would have covered in the class and the shapeshifting stuff. Now, to the second question, I'm not going to answer that because that's a moral question that you'll have to decide for yourself.
Okay, got it.
But
thank you.
If you think about it, if you go on a job interview, what do? You get dressed up. If you are out in public and you make somebody who is having a bad day go from depression to a happy state, still, what are you doing?
Right.
Manipulation. Yep.
It's just changing the circumstance. Yeah, but I mean, I'm not trying to say that all manipulation is with malice aforethought. What I'm trying to figure out is, am I giving the person what they need at the moment, or am I just doing, for whatever reason, is easy at the moment to dissuade them from the path that they're currently on? And again, not trying to do it vindictively or manipulatively, but trying to shift a pattern that's not going to benefit anybody and try to turn it into something positive for both of us who are sharing the experience. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I apologize. I'm not trying to make you give up or give away anything from your class. So you Feel free to steer me away.
The thing is that, see, now one of the things I'll say about this, because now is the situation changing in a way that is beneficial for them or in a way that you believe is beneficial for them? That's a difference too.
Interesting point.
Because in communication theory and psychology, we realize we're influencing other people all the time. And with energy stuff, we're influencing them all the time. It doesn't matter if we want to or not. It's a principle of human nature that we will influence each other all the time. Now, I would only state that a magician might be more aware of the fact of what they're doing. And thus, because they're more aware of it, they might have more control over the influence they're putting out.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the practice with it. I know. And speaking about practicing magic, that your article had really just caught my eye, and I was like, yes, I too have noticed that the pagan community seems to be either withdrawing or being filled up with people who are religious, but they don't practice the magic. What is going on with that?
Well, I think I gave a real,
again,
kind of real long thing in that blog, and this is something that's worth getting into a fight over, and I mean it. It's a fight for the right reasons, and this is something that you'll definitely get into fights with presenters. And I kind of outlined a lot of different points in my blog that probably didn't make people too happy with me, but I figured the people who would be happy with me were probably already the people who come to me for readings and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm not going to, right. I'm already speaking to the choir, but the thing is that it's an easy answer to divorce magic and witchcraft, or magic from witchcraft, magic from Wicca, magic from paganism. That's an easy answer. And it's a sad one. And I don't think if people really understood, they really got to know me, they would really know that makes me really sad. It makes me sad when you see that happening in Christian churches. It makes me sad when it happens in pagan circles. But the root cause of that, I think, is relatively similar. I hate to say it's more profitable, but it is. If you don't have to, if there's no risk in doing a ceremony and it's just a ritual. I've had people tell me it's just a ritual, and there's no risk, you know, it's okay because it's just a ritual. And I'm like, just a ritual?
Oh.
Really? Just a ritual? If you are doing magic, right, if you really believe that the gods are out there and the spirits are out there, or that you have, if you're on a left-hand path of magic, that you can influence your own life, shouldn't every ritual be a potential life-changing experience? Because what if they hear your prayer that time? You know, what if the angels come? What if, it doesn't matter what it is. Wouldn't it be the potential for every single changing? What if you got exactly what you asked for? You know, how
would
your life
change?
Awesome. Yeah, but how
I don't
would
think so. I don't
change?
Think. I don't think it would be awesome. Here's the thing, because life is so fluid and things change and bounce off each other, randomly, sometimes with purpose. I have no definitive answer because I'm not that fucking smart. But the fact of the matter is that if you got everything, and our middle, you can't have everything, where would you put it all? And that's kind of my feeling about it. I think because I trust the gods, I trust them to be smarter than me. They're gods, and I believe in them, and I honor them, and I do ceremony at night, and sometimes in the morning as well. I try hard to devote to them at least twice a day and during the day. You know, it's like as Christians talk to Jesus, I talk to my God all the time, because I know I need help. I mean, I've been given certain abilities, but, you know, I don't have secret magical powers like, you know, I can't teleport myself from one room to another. It's not quite Star Trek in my house yet. You see what I'm saying? So I trust that even the things I think I want, I believe that there is something to a certain extent that they have planned for me, which is why I've taken some of the steps I've taken in my life, good, bad, or indifferent. What did you learn from this? What did you benefit from this? Basically, like most human beings, I assume, are supposed to do. Or am I way off track? Am I way off track on this?
Don't know that if everyone human beings would do that. But I think you have a real authentic connection with your deities. Those connections that you have, I can guarantee you, if you actually sat down and had someone else watch you when you did it, they would feel the spirits come around you, right?
I've felt them.
Well,
yeah,
she's
one of the few people I will practice with.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I was just telling Andre that you've seen me make fire out of nothing.
Oh,
my one talent.
Yes, she still needs to show me how to do that, because there was like three of us sitting, or we were standing there talking. My oldest son was sitting right next to the fireplace. Our friend was sitting across from it, and I was standing up. And she had walked past and just tossed a couple papers in. There wasn't a fire going. And all of a sudden, it lit up, and we all kind of, like, looked at it, you know, and then asked, did you do that? You know, did you light that? And no, she had done it. I was like, I still need that power. You still need to teach me
pissed.
That trick.
I was pissed. I was having an argument with somebody, you know. They were in one room. I was actually in the laundry room. And I was literally, I felt like my brain was fuming. And it kind of had to go somewhere, so that's where it went.
Well, that's understandable. But, I mean, think about it. It's not necessarily about even getting everything that you want, right?
Right.
The problem is that you have a lot of services that seem interchangeable, that there's no authentic connection, and there's no desire for authentic connection, and that is kind of, in a complex way, what increasingly people find acceptable. And that's what the blog was about, is that there's a white elephant here that notion will sell more, that you don't have to have authentic connections. You don't have to push yourself into these states of change, because really, even in contact, authentic contact with any spirit, your perceptions might change. You might decide you don't want to get what you're asking for. There's risk, because you are putting yourself out there. It's anytime you're trying to make contact, you're putting yourself out there to another power, and the interaction itself can change who you are.
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter whether or not it's you're doing meditation work and you hit an internal place, real external shaman work, whether you're doing shape-shifting work. But I'll tell you what doesn't happen is if you aren't pushed to that point and you have this nice little bit of good feeling, love bombing going on, interaction and various psychological techniques, the people don't have the capacity to reach those places. So instead they get a drug, like a feel-good, a little bit of feel-good on community, you know, about the community, but not much real transformation.
Okay,
and
so, also,
they're just kind of playing the part.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it is kind of just playing the part, but it is also more that, you know, it feels good. So there's no risk. It feels good. It's like a roller coaster ride. It feels good. It's safe. But that isn't the same as a religion. Or it isn't the same now, the modern world, this isn't a problem with just paganism. The modern world demystifies and, in a way, industrializes ritual, too, to the point that it's considered, it's lost its mystery. But not only its mystery, I am the last person to talk about mystery when I'm always talking about practical magic and repeatability and everything. But there's a certain point where you're hitting what in classical terms would be, I don't want to say dangerous states of consciousness, but uncomfortable states of consciousness is probably the right word, right?
Yeah.
Even, you know, even like physically even if there's not another entity physically in front of you, if you feel it is and you're in deep enough of a trance state to believe that, that can have real ramifications for you. You know, but when it's just kind of a feel good, let's all feel good, what are people getting out of it? And there's this constant, nobody asks the question of, what are you really getting out of this? What really are you getting out of this? Is it any different than watching a television show? Is it any different than going to a nightclub?
It's a temporary way to feel something, but it's not real because it's not really internalized part of you.
Well, and in some cases, what I was pointing out is that, you know, all of industrial society basically makes widgets, right? Widgets that are irreplaceable. People become replaceable. And part of the argument was saying, well, you know, aren't you just a different replaceable widget for the, because the presenter's telling you what you want to hear at a lot of these festivals, at a lot of these places, you know? Aren't you just another widget? Make everyone kind of feel good about the community, but then, you know, when you do that, it cheapens the idea of what actually is community, and it cheapens the idea of what is actually religion or magic or any of it. Because a community isn't a ritual. A community is people who give a shit about each other.
Right. Yeah.
If you don't have that, it doesn't matter how many rituals you do to make community building rituals. You know, that's garbage. Community building is you go out to the hospital and visit motherfuckers who are sick. That's
right.
Community.
That's true. It's true.
Right?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
You know, if you're going to do ritual, that could be community building, but the point probably should be authentic contact as you understand it. That could be different for each person. But when you have rituals that are specifically designed repetitively and a whole school of thought that is basically very secular humanist with a different type of glamour on it to basically limit those to what is safe and feel good, there's a word for that. That's love bombing in a nutshell. It gives you a mild experience of euphoria to keep you coming back to that person, to that presenter, or to that festival. But is that what we should be doing in a world that's getting increasingly more difficult for everyone? Is that what people need? I don't think so. And I've been saying this kind of stuff for 15 years, so if anyone says, oh, you're just coming out and saying it now, I'll be like, no, I've been saying it for a while.
No, it's true, though. I think because we're all so behind our screen and people have become increasingly lazy when it comes to actually wanting to spend time together. I think people feel safe when they're cocooned and they are protected by a screen or protected by a wall or protected by anything other than having to deal face, because it's very different to deal with somebody through a computer screen than to deal with them face to face. You know, there's an energy cutoff that you can have when it comes to, you know, typing words and having words come back at you.
Well, yeah. And that's the
I get it.
That's kind of like where we're at, right? We're all interchangeable. And that's kind of what I was railing on, is that people can't keep doing that and deciding to sell that. And because we're getting to a place that, well, they can. People always buy that because it feels good. That's the standard how you get people to feel good. But it isn't very helpful. I mean, if people really thought about it, what if the spirits were out there? Now, I'm not saying that it's not all in your head. I'm saying, what if they are? You know, how would your life change if you made contact with it? Shouldn't that be the goal? Now, if you're meditating, how would your life change if you could authentically change parts of yourself? And if you really think about it, it's like, what couldn't you do? Now, you might not get everything you want, but I bet everyone would have a much better, much more profound life. And it's interesting that you brought up the internet, because that's one of the things in the blogs that I kept harping on, is that everything is a simulation, even these public events. And if people are going to try to cut off the trans state so you can't have a transformative event because they want to keep things really positive, and they want to keep things, and by positive, it's a little positive, so that way they can get the white elephant in the room, is that generates better profits for lots of different book companies, lots of different presenters. This is what people want to hear. But the truth is that when you get people who actually do real magic, they go and bust their hump, and they're doing the meditation every day. They work hard to get their hands messy. And by messy, I mean they're engaging the real world, not these simulations that are fake. They will go to the hospital. They'll go to a cemetery, you know, though, when people die, you know. They don't just show up for the party, because that is the drug, in a way. It's the yep. feel-good.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone wants to feel good. That's not the problem.
Yeah, it's not facing both sides of ourselves, as far as, you know, there are dark aspects and there are light aspects, and if you focus just on one or the other, you can't have that balance. And I've known people that have physically become sick because of it, because they refuse to see the dark side of themselves, you know, because they associate it with villains and bad things, and it makes them a bad person, partially because of the judgment of some of those groups that are selling
right.
the feel good, you know, so they're afraid to step out of that box.
I'm fortunate that I'm a magician, so I don't buy into those kind of arguments. But it isn't just the light and dark, really. I mean, you know, think about it. When you do those kind of, I was railing on the particularly community building rituals. You do that, doesn't it cheapen the idea of community? Doesn't it cheapen the idea of magic and religion, all of it? Because it's like, well, you could just do a ceremony that will build the community up. Okay, but who is taking care of each other? You know, in a magical sense, where's your self-development? This is hard work. I'm not the same person who I was the last time I was on your show, right? And I shouldn't
right.
be. I should be a different person, because I have grown, I've changed, I've had different experiences, I've communed with different spirits, I've tried to grow. Sometimes that's painful.
Yeah, it's like when people are not willing to expand outside themselves, because change is scary, and I think that has a good portion to do with why, you know, some become comfortable in this little cubby hole. You know, it's, I don't know, routine, it's what they know, it's what they can expect. And yeah, like you said, they don't have to get messy. You know, I don't mind getting messy. Sometimes I should. Sometimes I should stay away from getting messy, because it gets all over me.
And that's it's a part of life, though, right? If it didn't get messy, you're not growing, you're not changing,
exactly.
Nothing's
yep.
changing, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's
know,
part
yeah.
of the. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, because the whole, you know, in my mind, when I think of, you know, how things were before I was even born, the sense of community when it came to magic was either people who, you know, believed the same and had goals, mostly to make sure that things grew and that they could clothe and shelter themselves. And there just seemed to be more common purpose for a justifiable set of ends, as opposed to the single-minded, me, me, and me. You know what I mean? It's like now things have grown so far apart, you know, that there are companies that purposely don't even want you to show up because, again, as Andrea pointed out, in some instances it goes in the other direction where separation saves money as opposed to having people show up and pay to get to, you know, whatever kind of pagan event it is. And, you know, and I'm a fan of pagan events because I get to see people that I haven't seen in quite a long time. But the idea that you can control that number of people and have the same goal at the same time is not something you can really necessarily do. Because some of these festivals are fucking huge, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody's got some kind of agenda somewhere. When life was a lot harder in some respects, but much more simple, it was much easier to have a common goal or a common set of goals that you were trying to work towards magically or just in the physical realm, as it were. So I think the more we evolve, the more we de-evolve in certain regards. And the whole connection between being pagan and being a magic user or worker or whatever, I've seen people who want, you know, witch in a box, just add water. They don't want to get themselves dirty, but they're happy to pay you to take the risk. But you don't learn anything. You don't learn anything that way.
Well, the thing is, too, is that you a lot of the techniques of actual practical magic apply directly to mysticism, and they apply to direct communion with the direct communion with spirits, just like they do to practical magic. Now, it's amazingly similar how you go about those two things. Amazingly similar. You know, I have met people who oftentimes don't even want direct communion with the gods, or they just kind of believe like it's all in your head, which is fine. There's that belief structure is secular humanism, and you can do amazing things with psychology. Amazing things, more than most people can possibly think about. But it's like it leaves something duller in the world if it's just all archetypes. And that isn't to say that it's not. It just makes life a little less colorful. But even then, people don't take it seriously, right? The idea that even if it's just part of your head and you can change yourself, this is not the most important thing when you go to an event. Most of the time, the most important thing is, you know, feeling good, the party, all this. And that's good in a way. But it's not good when you have people saying, you know, we don't need witchcraft shouldn't have anything to do with magic at all. And it's like, well, don't you know your history of where Wicca came from and where witchcraft actually comes from? You know, back in the day, back in the day, shamans got the crops to grow or they died. You know, it's one or the other. if you go to modern history, it's kind of like these formats are derived from the Golden Dawn in directly magical order through the OTO. That is the history, you know, of Gardner, and that's what Wiccan comes into play. So it was inherently, you know, when you go back just a couple generations, an idea that you wanted to have direct contact with spiritual forces. And for some of the reasons that you described, to help you grow, to help you go in the right directions, that has been kind of lost. The idea now is that, well, we can go through the motions and have a good time because it's becoming an industrialized widget process, right? Okay, so let's have a good time here, let's have a good time here, let's have a good time here. I feel good here, here, and here. But what isn't changing is the person. And that lack of changing in the person is really concerning. It's not so much that it's concerning. Surely you can have a good time. But if that's all it is, it's just the same as being on Facebook and getting a like. It's just a different simulation that's an addictive behavior. It's not what it was supposed to be about.
Yeah. See, and that's, you know, my sister Raina, she is a Gardnerian witch. You know, she still does practice what Wicca has become is like very watered down, very, you know, like you said, in a box witchcraft. I mean, not all of them. I don't want to lump everybody into the same category because there are different variations and everything. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's like, yay, I'm happy to see you. But for me personally, you know, I don't generally do circle with people I don't know because of the fact that, you know, sometimes there's so many newcomers. I, you know, and me being an empath, I can feel the nervous energy and it distracts me from actually doing the ceremony, you know, and I don't do ceremony very often. I do kind of off the cuff magic. That's why, you know, I'm starting to get into chaos magic and, you know, I've gotten one of your books. So
I was going to say, I have this wonderful book, Hand Like Chaos Magic. I mean, I don't want anyone to think that I'm singling anyone out. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
If I was going to single it out, I'm not going to single out anyone going to any events. I might single out teachers, but I won't do it. Just to say that they probably know better, or if they don't, it comes to the white elephant in the room. And this is something that we really have to think about. And I know people don't want to hear it, but when we look at the structure of events and we look at the structure of books and everything, you know, it's really easy to tell you what you want to hear. And people are willing to spend money to do that. And that's generally how people get more money. And you can't be divorced from money, the money aspect from it, from the kind of light addictive qualities that a lot of things have. And I don't mean, by light, I don't mean light as in bright or, I mean, where they don't go deep enough for a transformative event to occur. Because you know what, if you're a presenter and my rituals do go deep enough that people have transformative events, well, guess what? You're going to be there for a couple hours making sure people are okay. And it sucks. You know, it's what actual priests will do, you know. But it sucks if you're a presenter. It's much easier to kind of do a light ritual that just gets people a little, get their blood flowing, get them out. That's more profitable because then you don't have to deal with the after effects. And people will generally respond to that by coming back. And I think that's what my blog was harping on, is all these combinations of things. You know, it's not what people are doing, it's how serious they are about it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I'd be the last person to judge anyone for whatever they're doing, you know. But I can tell you within 5 minutes, people who are actually wanting to seek out real communion with the spirits that they're trying to integrate, or even trying to integrate different archetypes into themselves, from people who, it's just another fun time.
Yeah. No, and I totally get you. You know,
I've seen the occurrences
that.
Of this. Yeah, I've seen this kind of thing happen even at, well, because I don't want to, like you, Andre, I don't want to call anybody else specifically, but there are some local events that do, I have seen people go, you know, and be, let's get into the big circle, and it winds up being non-transformative.
And purposely so. And that's the issue.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not every ritual that everyone does is going to be transformative. It's really hard to do public rituals. It's a true art form when you can get transformative experiences repetitively. I try to do that. I'm pretty successful at it, but it's a lot of work, and people who know me will see me spend weeks and months on one ritual, getting down every little detail so that way I can really make transformative experiences. It's a lot easier to purposely make it so that a ritual can't be transformative.
It is work. It's a lot of work and difficult. And sometimes you have people who are really resistant.
I think partially it stems back to the whole Hollywood thing. People getting into the craft for the wrong reasons, and we see an influx anytime a movie comes out, anytime a TV show comes out. I mean, I was on Twitter, and I don't know how many girls, we wear black on Wednesdays, and then are tweeting about, church on Sunday, or they actually do start buying the books and the cards and everything, and then, once the trend is over, they toss them out. It's so many people that, the instant gratification community, like, infiltrating.
Well, here's the thing. That's going to get worse because witchcraft's becoming a thing. It really is. And that's why what I'm saying, I know that I'm not hurting my bottom line because the people who would even want to talk to me are not going to be so interested in necessarily just a feel-good time. They want something more real. But there's more and more stars getting into the OTO and getting into witchcraft, and it's still one of the fastest growing religions. You couldn't tell this based on the general vibe of the United States.
Right.
Where you're continuously looking like, what is this place that we've entered into? I don't know if that's me. What is this place we've entered into with sound dynamics? Anyway.
I know. I don't know where that's coming from. I'm not moving my phone, so.
But you have to
ask.
I
have no idea what it is.
Paganism.
Huh?
And paganism and Wicca still some of the fastest growing religions in America. You can't tell that by the general Christianese of the news, but it's still the fastest growing religion, maybe next to atheism. So if everyone is coming to the plate, and people who are far more famous than me coming to the plate and offering this kind of thing, there's not really a road to tell people, there's so much more. And let's face the facts. I mean, from a results-orientated perspective, even from a going out into the world, we need all the advantages that we can get. If that means that you have spiritual allies that you can make direct contact with that can guide your hand, well, it's getting hard enough that people actually need those authentic connections, and they need to know that, community means something. It's not just a ritual that you go to and have a good time. It's kind of like what you guys were saying before I came on the show, right? Go out and do something for each other. Go out and feed somebody. If you have a coven or a small community that you're supporting, let somebody loses their job, they lose their house, let them stay with you. That's proof of real community.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as saying if you're going to have direct communion with the spirit, that you might not get everything you want, but you're certainly going to be changed by it,
Yes.
And that's the whole point of it. Even relationships with other people, you're going to be changed by it. It isn't such a throw these people away or, they're interchangeable people to have a good time with that it feels good with. No, they're not. And one of the things that I've seen go on way too much is people who go into it to do community service for the community and get burned as soon as they lose their house or go into the hospital and nobody shows up to help them. And then again, like 15 years they were trying to build community, build events, have events that people could get together, and they get sick and nobody gives a damn. That's bullshit. Right? That's the measure.
Yeah.
That's the measure of your real community, right? Because people like the idea of a community. They really do. They like the idea of this simulation of community. But real community takes you a lot of fucking work. You know, it takes, it might take paying, collectively paying a lawyer to fight for your community rights. It might take real effort to make sure that everyone eats, you know, who's part of the community. And I mean, that's even, that's a hard thing nowadays. You know, it might take, might take, as I was doing back in the day, not now, but I maybe will start doing this again. Maybe it takes some weekends where you're going to prisons, visiting prisoners, right? Talk about meditation and how they can calm down so they don't get into fights while they're in prison. Oh, you think that's okay. Well, that's not really community, but it is. That's the kind of stuff that you save and change people's lives. You know, teach a prisoner how to meditate, they might never have to go, they might not lose their temper ever again. So that way they can, they won't have to be in jail again. You know, and they might be, by not losing their temperature, you might save their life by teaching them techniques of emotional control. That's community. It's really hard.
Actually, I have, we have a group of friends who run a Wiccan church here in North Carolina that they've adopted part of the highway in their town, and it says North Carolina Piedmont Church Wicca on the sign in front of the Chick-fil-A and in front of the Walmart.
That's
like,
awesome.
And they go out.
Yeah.
Yeah. They go out once a month or once or twice a month, you know, group people in the group, and they go pick up trash just about every week. I know there's at least one member that goes every week. But they go to the local homeless shelter and they help feed the homeless. You know, anybody is welcome at their ceremonies as far as, you know, if somebody were to need something, everybody would band together, whether they knew the person or not. You know, so yeah, I definitely think we need to move more towards that. And they do as much as possible, you know, especially for newcomers that, you know, they may not necessarily know the rules. They may not know how to get into it. But if they're meant for it, like, hey, you're welcome here, you know. And I admire them for that.
Mm-hmm. Good folks. They are good folks.
Yeah. Yeah, I just saw them last weekend for Beltane. Yay, Beltane brouhaha. Kings Mountain every year. But... and we are down to about, actually, 6 minutes, so.
Wow, 6 minutes.
Tell the folks where they can find the sign-ups for your classes. Can they just go to your website that I've listed?
Yeah, it'll the classes, the shape-shifting class, will be up there soon.
Okay.
As in soon, by soon, I mean... the formal announcement will happen this weekend. That'll get everything out there. Also, if you live in Cleveland or can travel to Cleveland, I will be running in-person classes from August on, for once a month, classes that will be full-day kind of affairs. Come for the day, and we're going to get in deep into actual practical, hands-on magic. Not so much theory. There'll be a lot of theory in the reading material when you go home, but while you're there, it'll be experiential, hands-on learning, so you really could go back and look at the materials and then go, with a whole different eye. So
there you go. Instead of just reading
cool.
it. That's perfect.
Yeah, there's only
that's
so much
awesome.
That you can get by reading, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know, because sometimes you don't understand the context and, you know, it's easier to have somebody there to say, hey, I'm not quite sure what this means. What, you know, can you show me? And, yeah, the hands-on is much better. I learn better that way anyway. I know a lot of people do. But, Yeah, feel free to pass me along the links, and I'll pass them along to our listeners when they become available. And your books are available through Amazon.
If you have a local store, my first book was a Llewellyn book, so you could certainly get it from any store. So go support the local stores if you can, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sorry it's been so long since we've had you. We'll have to have you again soon.
That's okay. Please do. Now, I could talk about other sides besides ranting on the fact that I would like to see people do hardcore magic more often. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
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 Well, yeah, I tell you what, anything you want to come on and talk about, you just let me know. Say the word. I will get you on. That would be awesome.
Yep.
It would be fun.
That would
to talk
be great.
About the shape-shifting thing once I get everything announced. But you know, the thing is that
absolutely.
When you're in grad school and you're worried about your grades, it seems like everything goes away except for grad school. The world ceases to exist. You go, no. The world... Oh,
I
know.
Are you almost done with that?
I'm done with the last quarter and the last semester, but I still have two more years.
I feel for you.
As it turned out, this semester was harder than I think it should have been. And it's like everything else, you know. You get a good teacher. I'm good at math, and it should have been a class that I could have gotten through pretty easily. But the teacher wasn't good, and... Then you struggle, right? You have to struggle.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what we're saying, you know. You could just say, the teacher's shit, and, well, you know, what comes about is what it is. Or you could say, I'm going to try twice as hard because I'm not going to let the situation define the result. Same thing.
There you go.
I like that.
Exactly like what we're talking about, you know. It's in the same vein. Like, you could just kind of go in and say, oh, well, you know, it's somebody else's fault that I'm not doing as well. Or you can just say, I'm going to double down, right? You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to study more. You know, I'm going to find outside resources. I'm going to do what's necessary to get the outcome that I want. And, you know, maybe that's a very similar thing to what we should be doing when we set out to do rituals, you know. To have the seriousness to get the transformation that you want to have out in the communities and out in the greater world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my darling, we wish you good rest and good grades and good energy to get all of that handled. And I do have friends in Cleveland, so I'm going to have to come see you. So we will talk about that.
Trust me, if you come up here, it'll be great. Actually, email me privately, you know, and we'll talk. You know, I'm certainly, you know, for people who have the shows and stuff, you know, we can work something out, you know, for the classes, especially if you're coming one time just with. To see a bunch of friends too, so.
That'd be awesome. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So just, I don't know if you have my email address, but email me directly. So because
I will.
Because I will. I know that I have a lot of people who are interested, and I know what the numbers are that I want to have. Because there's actually too many people is not good either. So I have to keep it at the right number so I can give people the real experience that they need. As opposed to what I was railing against the whole time tonight.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I want to see you personally, not necessarily class-related, just to spend some time with you, that's all.
Oh, that would be great. Especially if you're coming up to Cleveland. So.
Okay. All right, darling. Our show has pretty much wrapped, so we're going to let you go for now, but I'll be in touch, and my sister will be in touch, and... We'll have to talk about having you back on, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, definitely. So thank you.
All right. Thank you,
Andre. Thank you. You have a wonderful night.
Have a good one.
You too, darling.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, sis.
Oh,
carry
awesome.
Us out, baby. Yeah, he's
all
sweet.
Right. Yep.
And
we
got to
wrap up. Huh?
And he's sweet and smart, so there you go.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we will see you all next week. I don't know who's coming up next week. I would have to look. But we love you. Happy Mama's Day to all the baby mamas out there. We love you guys.
Yep.
Hopefully you get lots of rest and lots of kisses and breakfast in bed. Keeping our fingers crossed for that for you. But
well,
great blessings. We love you guys.
And even if you're not
huh?
a mama with a baby, I was just going to say, even if you're a mama but not necessarily of your own children, mamas of ideas and mamas of other people's children and all of that, you get the same respect. So go enjoy, and we will see y'all next week. Good night, everybody.
Love you guys.
Bye.